The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. St. Mark tells us that the Lord Jesus began the 3 years of his public ministry with those words. And in the gospel today, taken from chapter 4 of St. Mark, we hear Christ beginning to explain in greater detail what he means by the kingdom of God. But to understand our text today, we need to look backwards to the beginning of chapter 4. There we find that the Lord begins by telling a parable, the parable of the sower, a man who casts seed upon the ground. The seed, of course, is the word of God, and it takes root and grows according to the condition of the soil upon which it lands, that is, according to the disposition of the mind and heart of those who hear the word of God. And we must take note, by the word of God, we mean the word in the fullness of its senses, the eternal word, who is the Father's only begotten Son, the incarnate word, who is Son of God and Son of Mary, and the written word, every page of God-breathed scriptures in the Old and New Testament. The parable of the sower takes the first 9 verses of chapter 4. Then we read this beginning at verse 10. And when he was alone, the Lord Jesus, those present along with the 12 questioned him about the parables. He answered them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been granted to you, but to those outside everything comes in parables, so that they may look and see, but not perceive, and hear and listen, but not understand, in order that they may not be converted and be forgiven." Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? Then how will you understand any of the parables?" And he interprets for them the parable of the sower. To understand these enigmatic sayings, we must first ask, what is a parable? And to give a proper answer requires us to leave the scriptures and go to geometry. You no doubt remember middle school. A parabola is a curious, elegant shape, an ellipse of 2 lines emerging from a single point, the vertex. And then they diverge gracefully, almost in parallel. In Greek, parabola and parable are linked linguistically. The vertex of a parable is the Lord Jesus himself, the Word of God made flesh, who teaches us about his Father's kingdom in words that conceal even as they reveal. So there are 2 meanings in a parable, like the 2 lines of a parabola, the obvious literal meaning, and then the deeper spiritual meaning, which is designed to reveal to us something about the mystery of the kingdom. But why teach in this enigmatic way at all? Christ tells us himself, there are people who are not prepared to hear the mystery of the kingdom, who will not receive the word of God with faith. Recall that by that point in his public ministry, the Lord Jesus had already encountered the angry and increasingly violent opposition of those who did not want him to preach, chiefly the scribes and Pharisees. Whenever they engaged him in conversation, it was not to learn from him, it was in the vain attempt to trap him, to trip him up by his own words, hoping that he would in some way contradict Torah, particularly Moses, so that they would have justification for denouncing him. And so he begins to teach in parables, elliptically, enigmatically, revealing and concealing. Now, the parables, about 35 in number in the New Testament, contain many different literary forms. Analogy, allegory, simile, metaphor, proverbial, axiomatic wisdom. And in order to understand each parable, we need to see it for what it is. What figure of speech is it? How does it connect both to its predecessors in the Old Testament and to all the other parables of the Lord Jesus? That requires patient study. And in the weeks between now and the end of the liturgical year at the Feast of Christ the King, the gospel text will often be one or more of the parables. Today we have two of them, both similes about the kingdom of God. This is how it is with the kingdom of God. Or, to what shall we compare the kingdom of God? What parable can we use for it? And then he uses two images from agriculture. This is not unprecedented. We heard another in the first lesson from the book of the prophet Ezekiel. God is promising Israel that from the most tender shoot of the topmost branch of a towering cedar, he can raise up another. And now we have the farmer who scatters seed, which on its own, according to the hidden nature of the thing, grows up and prospers. He knows not how. He compares the kingdom to a tiny mustard seed, which gives the huge bush, towering nearly 10 feet and almost as wide, shelter for the birds of the air. The point for us from these two parables is that the kingdom of God is not built by human hands, and it cannot be understood or grasped by human wisdom. Recall how he began his public ministry. The kingdom of God is at hand. How? Where? Jesus of Nazareth is the king of all creation. From the moment the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Virgin, the kingdom was among us because the King is among us. The kingdom is at hand because Christ has come, and wherever Christ is, the kingdom is already present. To be sure, the kingdom of God is not yet fully and finally realized in human life, which is why he instructs us to pray, "Thy kingdom come." How? "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom will not be fully and finally realized until in every human life, the will of God is perfectly accomplished, promptly, joyfully, and easily, even as it is now by the angels and saints. And yet, though it is not yet fully realized, the kingdom is already here, in hidden ways. Once we grasp that the kingdom is not something we can make, once we understand that the kingdom is not something we can fully grasp with reason, then begin to look for it according to the truth revealed in these parables. If Christ is the king and the kingdom is present where he is, then because Christ is in the church is on earth, the seed and the beginning of the kingdom. Notice that in these parables, the Lord does not refer either to himself or to his church, and yet in truth, both of them are about Christ and his church, the seed and the beginning on earth of the kingdom of God. How will it grow? We know not how, except that it will grow by its own power. And though it be a tiny mustard seed, it will, in due course, fill the earth. A better image for North Americans might be that the towering oak comes from the tiny acorn, and so it is with the kingdom of God and its seed on earth, the church. With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, that is to the apostles, as they were able to understand it. They would grow in their understanding during the 3 years of his public ministry, and most especially after his passion, death, and resurrection. and it was their growth and understanding that would make them effective instruments of the grace of the word as preachers of the gospel to the ends of the earth. But Mark tells us that without parables, he did not speak to them, the crowds, but to his own disciples, the 12, he explained everything in private. And so the 12 and those who take their place, the bishops of the church in apostolic succession, continue to transmit the gospel, to explain for us the word of God, eternal, incarnate, and revealed, so that we can respond to Christ's clarion call to conversion. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.